evening. And the Lord is good, right? And his mercy endures forever. So let's pray. We're going to get right into it. We're not going to delay any. My wife said to me when we got home, she said, you talk almost for 45 minutes before you got to your lesson. I said, oh, I did not. She said, you did. I said, I did not. And I'm thinking, maybe I sort of did. Because I like to talk, but so we're not going to do that this time. She's watching. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your loving kindness. We thank you for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for your children that are gathered here today, Lord God. We ask that you make my lips the pen of a ready writer, Father, writer, that I may be able to say what you want me to say. And anything that you're not saying, Lord God, cause your people to forget it, to just remove it from their memories, Lord God, so it won't be anything that will be destructive, Lord God. But we want everything that's said today to be of you, Holy Spirit, and be edifying, that will cause them to grow in you and in the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A scripture I want to read is a New Testament scripture. It's in Acts. Okay, let me start my timer. Acts chapter 2. Verse 17, in the last days, how many of you believe we're in the last days? Yeah, this is the last of the last days. So the last days started and on the birthday of the church. That's when the last days started. So we've been in the last days for about 2,000 years now. And but the scripture says, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Reading from the CEB. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servant men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Okay, we'll stop there. I hesitated because one translation say, I will pour out of my spirit in those days. And so we know from the scriptures, from the book of Acts, chapter 2, 17, that God said that in the last days, one of the signs of the last days is that he's going to cause young men to see vision and old men to dream dreams. And so we know this is a prophetic utterance and that it is taking place now. People are dreaming like never before. I don't know if they're dreaming like never before. We are have access to more information, and we're getting information quicker, but we are encountering more people dreaming, and more people want to understand their dreams. Since the last time I was here, I think I've had at least four or five people that sent me dreams about understanding what the dreams are. So there's an interest, there's a desire for people to want to understand what God is saying to them through dreams. And I really feel like dreams are for the more mature people. That's why he said old men should dream dreams. You know, he didn't say young men. And the reason, I believe, is because visions are more literal. There's no symbolic, no symbolism, no metaphor. It's just pretty clear. What you see is what's happening in a vision. Dreams are more symbolic, so it requires you to do some studying, understanding the, if you read the parables of Jesus, it'll give you a leg up on understanding dreams. And understanding, maybe reading Daniel and Joseph and seeing how they went about interpreting a dream. Daniel, Joseph, I believe, had a gift. And I believe that God has gifted certain people to understand dreams. I believe John Paul Jackson was like that. And there's a few other. I have a good friend in Orlando, Florida, Valerie Ellis. Wonderful interpreter of dreams. And when I get stuck, I email, text message to her a dream, and within a few minutes, she'll send me a reply back if she's not busy. But she stays really busy doing dream classes. I believe it's on Saturday nights that she used to do them. But it's like a whole, she called them a dream clinic, because she actually teaches what we're doing now, teaches people how to interpret their dreams. I remember attending, John Saji, the pastor I was telling you about, the Indian pastor here in San Antonio, maybe he's watching, but this Indian pastor asked me to go with him to an Indian festival. and to interpret dreams. And so I went there. I think my wife was with me. No, she wasn't there. One of my sons was. And so I had a banner that I had put over top of behind the table. And I sat there, and man, the people that came up in the line that wanted to understand dreams was amazing. And we did it once before. We did another event in Canyon Lake, and they had like a coat giveaway. And they put a table out there for me with three chairs, one chair, the person in front of me, and two chairs back in the back. And the line was long. People wanted to know about their dreams. They wanted to know how to understand the dream. So dreams are from the Lord. We established that in the last meeting, that God wants to communicate through us, to us, through dreams. Why choose to use dreams? You know, it's we talked about that in Job, how that when he puts a dream in you, wait until you sleep, and your analytical mind can't mess with it, can't tinkle with it. You can't, I don't know if that's right. Is that coming from God? Almost like when a person give you a prophetic word and you're listening and say, cheetah tail, I don't know about that cheetah tail. You know, you're giving me a prophetic word and you say, I'm like a cheetah tail. You can kind of mess with that. You know, you can kind of analyze that, and you can kind of reject that. But with dreams, when God gives you a dream, you're sleepy. There's nothing you can do but receive it, you know. Now you wake up in the next morning and say, I hear people say, well, that was a bad dream, or that was a horrible dream, or that was a scary dream. And I take the position that really is not that at all. It's information that God has given to you, or could be coming from another source, could be coming from the dark side, you know, because we dream in color. Some dream in color. Sometimes we dream in black and white, and then we dream in what we call a mutic color, half black and white. And all those three colors, there's a communication going on. With the black and white, that's tend to be more spiritual warfare that's taking place. Then you have the dream, what we call dark dreams, where it's just like it's midnight. The dream is nice nighttime all the time. Well, this is, we call those like dark nights of the soul, where a lot of trouble, trauma going on the inside. When I was a little boy, probably a little bit older than Jaden, no, maybe younger, I would have dreams all the time. They were black and white and dark. It seemed to be, we've tracked this, we meaning my friend Stanley and I and others, we've tracked that. It seemed like the more trauma that people have in their life, the more their dreams seem to reflect that. You know, you have the darkness and the always seem to be demonic in some term. You have this feeling of this, you know, that something's always trying to get you. And so when you talk to a person about that those dreams, you know, you have to kind of peel back the layers and kind of you start, you know, where they are, but you go back and you find out that there's always seemed to be some type of incident that took place, some type of trauma. And so for me, it was my mother dying when I was 14 years old. And so that was a traumatic experience for me, and I dreamed dark dreams, you know, dark or demonic dreams. And I stayed in that cycle of dreaming dark from 14 all the way until 20, I think it was, 21, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's like someone turned the light on. Everything was bright, colorful. So, but it taught me, I was able to look back on that and see why I was dreaming that way, because of all the trauma, you know. And I was able to get healed. And this note, I have another story about, you know, how the Lord healed me on my past when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it helped me bring me forward, because I lived in the past. My mother was like everything to me. And so I was talking with someone here recently about how I couldn't even hear her name without just losing it. So what I did, I blocked everything, got rid of all her pictures, and I didn't want people to mention her name at all, because I just wanted to move on in life. But God healed me of that. And so we know that the way that Sigmund Freud was interpreting dreams and has interpreted dreams is not the proper way, because dreams come from the Lord. In Job 33 and 14, this is a scripture I alluded to earlier, reading out of NIV, it said, we believe the Bible has the answer, for God does speak Job 33:14, for God does speak not one way, now another, though men may not perceive it, in a dream, in a vision of the night. And in a vision of the night, because sometimes some people have in a dream state, but it'll be a vision. It's like there's no symbolism at all. And we believe, and I think John Paul Jackson talked about this in one of his teachings, he said that we believe when the scripture talks about visions of the night, it's talking about a person who's dreaming, but the dream is actually a vision. There's no symbolism in it. So there are rare occasions where people will dream, but it's not a dream, it's a vision, but it takes on a dream form. And so I was talking with a good friend today, and she was telling me about experiences that she had where sometimes she didn't know if it was a dream or a vision, you know, what was going on with her. So, and that can happen in dreams. But the point that this scripture is trying to make is that when God gives you a dream, you're in a sleep state. We talked about you cannot mess with the dream. He, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ear and terrify them with warnings to turn man from wrongdoing and to keep him from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit. And it kind of remind me of some of the, and I think we'll get into it, some of the early church fathers. I think it was Polycarp, John's disciple, how that he had a dream about him actually being martyred in Rome. He dreamed about his own demise. And so that is possible. God can give you a dream about, you know, what's going to happen in the future. Warning dreams, we'll talk about those when we get closer to the end of this lesson. But God can warn you through the dream. But the thing of it is that we have to take it seriously when God's speaking to us through a dream. We have to treat it as if, just like we would if someone was to give us a prophetic word, because we believe dreams fall into the category of the prophetic, or if someone would come and just give us a plain old warning. We have to know, understand that God wants to speak to us through dreams. Okay. The scripture I wanted to bring up is the First Corinthians 2, and chapter 2, verse 10 through 14. And it talks about the spirit, because the dreams that God is giving us is the understanding of dreams is that we're not trying to understand dreams through our soulish nature, through our intellect, you know. And we talked about how there's books in Barnes and Nobles and other places where you can go and they'll give you, and even on the internet, how to interpret dreams. And all the ones that I've seen, with the exception of a few, it's dealing with the soulish nature, trying to analyze the dream through your intellect. And they get the understanding wrong because the intellect, the soulish nature, cannot understand a dream that's coming from God, because God is spirit. He is spirit. He is not a spirit. He is spirit. The spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men know the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak. This is what we speak, not in words taught as by human reason, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Okay, and so I see this as saying that, you know, God communicates through us. It's a spirit-to-spirit communication that's taking place. So in order to understand what God is saying to you through a spiritual dream, you really have to seek the Word of God, which is spirit. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life. The Word of God is the spirit book. So if you look at the principles of the dreams and the symbolism that God uses in the Bible through his different servants, then it can give you a leg up on understanding your dreams. Because you find out it's not through your intellect. And that I stress that because I gave you an example of the man who's going to sell his home because he looked at this dream and he analyzed it through his soulish nature and made a determination that this is what God was saying, when it wasn't being interpreted by the Spirit of God. It was being interpreted by his own mind, his own intellect, you know. And I've had, you run into people like that, and even people who don't do this on a routine basis, sometimes you hear people dream and you hear their interpretation of it, and just something inside of your spirit said, that is not right. You know, the Holy Ghost is inside of you. I don't know what the right answer is, but I know that is not right. You know, that's God letting you know. You know, that's why when someone is interpreting your dream, and you hear the interpretation of it, and you say, well, why? What's going on there? Well, that's the spirit of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you letting you know that is not right. It's just something wrong with that. I don't know what it is, but that's not it. But then when you do hear someone interpret the dream properly, you have that check in your spirit that says, yeah, that's what it is. What is that? That's just not your mind. That's God gone. He's past that. He's gone to the Spirit. That's Holy Spirit and coming into agreement with what's been said. And you say, okay. And I've used this. This is the way John Paul Jackson taught it. I've used this all of my life. When I've heard people dreams, and when I've heard people interpret dreams, and when people have interpreted my dream, is I look for that check in my spirit, just like you do everything else when you say, well, I'm going to make a decision. Do I have peace about this? You know, you get that check. Same thing with dreams. And this is the aspect of dreams that I don't think John Paul Jackson taught it, but I've discovered it in my understanding of dream, is that some interpretation of dream is supernatural. God would just give you the information. It's like I'm going to bypass all the things that Pastor Winston have said about the interpretative process, and I just sense from the Lord that this is what this dream means. That's legal. I mean, God can give, he can give you interpretation of the dream while you're dreaming. And as the dream is going on, you get an understanding of the dream. And at the conclusion of the dream, you know what it means when you wake up. I know exactly what he was saying in the dream. I don't need anyone to interpret it. I already have that that acknowledgement in my spirit that this is what he said. So that's what we stand by. That history, though, and you probably don't have this in your notes, but there are portions of Christian, the church eventually, they used to ignore dreams. The early part of the church, you know, they really didn't think the dreams came from the Lord. But as time went on, people begin to believe that God can speak through the dreams. And there are some prominent figures throughout the church history. And I mentioned Polycarp and Tullian and Luther and Charles Finney. All these guys, and anyone that you can find. I was looking at this the other day, all major Christian figures throughout the years. All of them, Billy Graham, all of these guys have had dreams that really what God was speaking to them through the dreams. Now, I don't know the history on a lot of these guys. Some of them I have here. But many of them, they learned that God was getting a message to them through dreams, and they learned to appreciate that. And that's one of the things about interpreting dreams and having dreams is that when God gives us something, we have to honor the thing that God has given us. If he gives you the message through dreams and you can continue to ignore it and push it aside, what we've discovered is that you have fewer and fewer of the dream, or you have fewer of the understanding of the dream. It'll become just fragmented. And what is the reason behind that? It's because we're not showing appreciation for the thing that God has given to us. Justin Martyr, a theologian and a Christian apologist who believe in the positive spiritual effects of dreams. He believed that dreams were positive and that God gave dreams. And so just to name a few. Okay, your dreams are important. And one of the scriptures, quite a few scriptures that I can allude to, but one of the ones that I think is so fascinating that shows how important dreams are is in Matthew chapter 2, where the birth of Jesus. And now I'll read some of this to you, but Matthew chapter 2, verse 12 through 23, it says, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. That was the wise men. When they left, in a dream, God warned him in a dream, don't go back. Because, you know, Herod wanted him to come back to them and let them know if they found the child. Well, you know, we don't know if they had agreed to do it or not, but somewhere down the line, they went to sleep, and when they during their time of sleeping, God warned them in dream, don't go back there. And the scripture says they returned to their country by another way. And the importance of dream. What if they had just, that was a dream. We just had maybe lamb last night or some vegetables. Let's just forget about it and go back. Well, it's a reason that God warned them. You know, Herod may have wanted to kill them. So he didn't allow that to happen. They paid attention to the dream. They took it seriously, and they did accordingly. Verse 13, when they had gone, and an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So God, and I often wonder about this when I say, well, why didn't just, you know, the Lord just appear to him himself? How come he had to do it through a dream? But this shows just how God values the dream, that he would give something as important as the life of Jesus being snuffed out by Herod. He gives that warning to Joseph through a dream. That important, you know. Can God give important things in a dream? Yes. You know, I think I told you last time I was here, how I ended up in San Antonio was because of a dream. You know, I could have looked at that and said, oh, you know, a dream. Maybe it was a pizza dream, hamburger, you know, sushi. I love sushi. Maybe it was that. But he tells him to get up. He said, take the child and his mother and escape. Gives him, not only tells him where to get up, but to where to go in the dream. And so, of course, Joseph obeys. Verse 14, so he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. 15, when he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Okay, so that's just, yeah, we're going to stop there. We'll move on. Okay, and then after Herod died, verse 19, it says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go back to the land of Israel. So he had a dream to tell him to go out of Israel. He had a dream to tell him to come back to Israel. But while he's on his way, you know, for those who were trying to take the life of the child are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. So he changed them again. It's like God is giving him a route, changing his direction, and it's not like anyone's appearing to him like in Joshua, where the angel appeared to Joshua, you know, physically, and they are awake and he's talking. No, he's doing all of this through a dream, communicating. It just shows the importance, again, of dream. Okay. 1 Kings 3 and 5. At Gilgal, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream and said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. So in the dream, Solomon has this experience with the Lord, and the Lord says, you tell him to ask. Solomon asks, verse 9, so give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? 1 Kings 3:8-9. Then the Lord says to him, this is all taking place in a dream, I will do what you ask. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there be ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor. I mean, we like to have a dream where God says, I'm going to give you $1 million, a couple of $1 million, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commandments, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. All those promises were made in the dream. Because in verse 15, the Bible said, then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. Now, someone, say, well, that was a nice dream. You know, let me go about my day. But we know that from the scriptures. So Solomon exceeded, verse 23, exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. 1 Kings 10, 23 and 24. Okay, so we see the importance of dream. We see that God can speak to you. He can give you your destiny. He can give you your calling. He can give you direction that will save your life if we pay attention to what he's saying. Colors in dream. We talked about this earlier, but we'll go ahead and go back a little bit deeper in it. Three main colors in people's dream. First is the dream black and white. Black and white is spiritual warfare. John Paul Jackson talked about having 74 nights of spiritual warfare. It was just every night was a spiritual warfare. And a little of it I can remember, it was about not bees, but hornets. Yeah. Yeah, he said, he talked about hornets were on this house, and he was scared to go into the house because he saw these hornets on the house, you know. And he said the dream repeated itself again. There's the house. He's outside, and he said, oh, no, I'm not going to mess with it. And finally, after about 74 nights, the last night of the dream, he's doing the same thing. The Lord asked him, said, well, aren't you going to do something about this? And he said, well, Lord, what am I? He said, well, blow. He said, blow? He said, blow. And so in the dream, he blows, and half of the hornets leave. They disappear. And he blows again, and the rest of them disappear. And he was able to go inside the house. He said, well, now, what is that about? Confronting fears that he had. God wanted him to confront a fear so he can move on, you know. And so when I heard that, I was like, oh, man, I feel good, because I had a dream like it was like 21 nights in a row, you know, just constantly warfare. And I was speaking to the sister that was here last week, and I was telling that as I was having these dreams, what God was doing, he was trying to build confidence in me, you know. And you find that God can condition you. We call them conditioned dreams, where he'll condition your heart through a dream to do something that you want to do, but you have fear about doing, you know. So this dream I was having, I saw a tornado over the base, Randolph base. And I looked, I was standing on my, everything was real. I was standing on the back porch looking across at the base, and I see this tornado drop. And then the second one dropped, and the third one. They was like going around each other. And I was like, oh, God, that's a tornado in San Antonio. So I'm looking at this tornado, and I said, oh, God, what are you going to do? And the Lord said, he spoke back. He said, what are you going to do? I was like, well, you know, I said, I guess I'm going to rebuke them, right? He says nothing. And I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And the tornadoes suddenly have faces now. And they looked at me like, no, you didn't. And I was like, oh, you know. I said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And then the three became one. They said, oh. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I do? And I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke you. And the fourth time, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. They stopped, and it went up in the air. And then I hear the Lord say, it took you four times. And the dream ended. I said, oh. My wife said, what did that mean? I said, well, I'm still in school. I'm still learning, you know. It shouldn't have taken me four times to stop that tornado. But he was teaching me about authority, that he has given us authority, and that we need to use our authority. We shouldn't be afraid. It doesn't matter how dark it seemed, how difficult it seemed, you know, we have the authority to deal with it. That's what he was telling me. And so I was learning, you know. So spiritual warfare dreams that are black and white. Something is chasing you, and you're running, and it seems like you're running in mud, like you can't run fast enough. This thing is running faster than you, you know. Or you run, you get to the door, and you're closing the door, and just before you close the door, he's right at the door, you know. You're like, and you wake up, you know. Spiritual warfare dream, you know, like in my case, the dog chasing me. I was riding the bike one time, and a dog came up, and he was trying to bite my hand. You know, well, he did. He bit my hand. And then another one came up and he bit the other hand. So I was riding the bike, and I have these two dogs on my hand. And I'm like, dogs, I don't like that. But I noticed the dog was trying to turn me. So bicycle, what does that bicycle represent? Ministry, personal ministry. What was the enemy trying to do? He was trying to deter me. He's trying to turn me off the path that God has set for me. So I had to learn spiritual warfare. So it was dreams like that that I was having 21 nights in a row. And then people call them lucid dream. Then in the dream, as this is going on, I got tired. And I was like, you know, you need to do something about this. So this time when the dog came in a dream, it was like the 21st dream, I turned and I was able to fight the dog. I was like, no, I'm not running anymore. And after that night, the spiritual warfare dreams ended. And I didn't have one for years of spiritual warfare. That's part of how God trains you. So spiritual warfare dreams are typically black and white. Okay, moving on. Mutic dreams. Mutic dreams is dark, almost like those old movies. You remember those old movies where they were talking about techno color and there was like some color, some black and white? Or that movie, the wonderful, what was that place where people were all gray? Pleasantville. Have y'all seen that movie? That describes a mutic colors perfectly, where the people are gray, but it's a little color in there. And then as they come to a realization, they begin to see color. I think it was another movie too, but some science fiction movies like that too. But anyway, they begin to see color. That's mutic color. That's the best way I probably can describe it. But in those dreams, mutic colors usually deal with emotional issues. You know, someone, a friend or a parent, someone close to you dies, goes on to be with the Lord, it usually manifests itself in dreams through mutic colors and fragmented. The dream would be like a puzzle, and you can't really, you know it's a dream, but it's like the pieces are just broken up and like a little puzzle, and you can't really put your hands on it. Or it becomes little color in it. The little color is God speaking, but because you're so emotionally compromised, you can't hear him. Yeah. And that usually takes place when people are dealing with trauma in their life from either some type of sudden trauma or something like a death or accident or whatever. You find that trauma will keep them from really hearing God, and it's kind of good for, you know, I tell people with these type of dreams, you really can't make sense of them. You just have the dream and just process it and keep going, and then as time goes on, the fragment will become a picture and you'll be able to see it and tell what's going on. When my brother died a few years ago, I mean, my dreams was like for about a week or so. It was just all fragmented, you know. I just couldn't make any sense out of it. I was dreaming, but everything was fragmented. Color, vibrant color. When you have colored dreams, that's God speaking in a dream. It's one way the Bible tells, but God is light and there's no darkness in him. So he speaks through color. And so when you see you're riding on the car, you're in a car and you're down riding on a path and sunny light and all these blue skies, you know, green grass, you know, this is God communicating in this dream. He's talking to you. You know, what's happening? Well, you're in a car, personal ministry, you're on the road, that's a journey. So you're in your ministry, you're on a journey, you know. And God is directing you in this journey. Sometimes you're driving, sometimes he's driving. You know, I've had a dream where you're driving the car, where you're in control of your ministry. Sometimes you're on the passenger side and someone else is driving, but you can't see their face. Well, that's the Lord, or it's an angel. Typically, angels will not show their face in dream. They will always do something to keep you from seeing their face. I had a dream where I was in a car, and I'm driving along, and this car comes up behind me, right? Comes up behind me, blue light. Car. Police, blue lights and whatnot. And so blue represent heaven. So color dream, this is God speaking now. Color lights, color stop. I pull over, right? He walks to the door and I'm sitting in the vehicle and I'm looking, I can see the badge. So this is a person of authority. And in the dream, I'm sitting in the vehicle and I go like this. I kind of lean back so I can see his face. I go like this, he goes like this, right? I said, okay, this is an angel. So I'm like, I'm aware of the fact that I'm dreaming. So I'm trying everything to see his face, right? And so I just go like this, and he goes up on his toes again. I couldn't realize, how could he go that high on his toes? And he's talking to me. He said, you know why? Call me by my name. Kelvin? I said, yes. He said, you know why I stopped you? I said, no. He said, you're moving too slow. I said, I'm moving too slow? He said, yes, you're moving too slow. Move faster. You understand? I said, yes. He said, bye. And he goes back to his car, and I'm watching him. I can't see, you know, kind of bending down. His head is up. He gets in the car, can't see his face. He gets in the car, closes his door, and I go like, I'm looking through the rearview mirror. I can see the car, and I go like this, and it's gone. Just that quick second. And I wake up, and I say, okay, I'm moving too slow. There was a brother that I was helping with his VA paperwork, right? I mean, God speaks to you at all. And I was like, I don't want to deal with this guy. He just kind of losing it, you know. He was a little, I was like, I'm just tired. And I was really going slow. And when I had the dream, I said, okay. And fortunately for him that I did, because he needed the money. Some things happened in his life, and he really needed that 100% disability. And so I'm like, oh, wow, that's what the Lord was saying. So he can speak to you about some other people, but you have to understand the symbolism. What is he saying? Police cars, authority, badge, authority, blue from heaven, right? Angel. Can't see his face. It's an angel. He brought a message from the Lord. You're moving too slow. Okay, types of dream. We're getting to the end now. This is the fun part. Through John Paul Jackson's teaching, he identified about 20 categories of dreams. And there are more than 20, but these are the main ones that most people have when we're talking about dreams. So here we go. Okay, the first dream is a flushing dream. It's the flushing dream is where God used to clean you. God uses it to shower, to clean up things we have come in contact with. Uses the dream about random parts of your day. And so we call this where you have been slimed. And this is really strange, where some things I don't want to say because it may be offensive, but you come into contact with someone throughout the day that maybe is not, when I say dirty, not physical dirty, but spiritually dirty, and you come in contact with them, but you spend some time around them, and you really feel like, man, I've been, you know, something is on me. Well, you go to sleep and have a dream about that. And in that dream, it may not have to do with that person, but it may have to do with something. John Paul Jackson gave the example of a brother kissing his sister. You go, oh, that is, oh, gross. Well, he said the reaction that you have because of that dream is the reaction that he wanted you to have, because what you need to do with that is flush it. So it's because you came in contact with something during the day, and you, the way that God gets it out of your system off of you is through a dream, and you flush that dream. Healing dream brings about forgiveness or love to someone who you don't like, or even a physical healing that takes place. In this situation, you know, I almost have stories about each one of these, but forgiveness dream is that there was a guy on my job. Have you heard me talk about it? And I didn't like him. I didn't like him. I didn't like his mother. I didn't like his wife. I didn't like his children. I mean, I just did not like this guy at all. Have you ever met people you just, come on, y'all can be Christians now. You just didn't like people. I mean, the guy didn't do anything to me. I just didn't like him, you know. But then I thought about it later. He did do something to me. It wasn't much, but it was enough for me not to like him, you know, even more so. And so I'm someplace, I'm preaching, getting ready to do, got my Bible open, my notes, and big church. The pastor is sitting in the front. He come out of the pulpit so he could listen. And I open the Bible, and I go, it's a blank. I can't remember anything. I'm looking at my notes and can't see my notes. And I'm like, wow, this guy's face that I didn't like, his mother, his wife, his children, I didn't like, his face pops up in front of me like an open vision. I see his face and it drops down. And I'm like, what is that about, you know? And so the pastor's looking, I'm looking at him, and he's like, I said, well, let's just pray. You know, so you know, anytime you can't do anything, just pray. So we have a prayer meeting, and we dismiss the service, and I go home. I'm embarrassed. I'm like, man, I got invited to speak, and I couldn't even preach. What's going on with this? I go to sleep, I have a dream. And in the dream, the Lord says to me, brings the guy up. He said, you're not going anywhere until you deal with this. A dream about forgiveness. You're not going anywhere until you deal with this. And he pointed to the person. And I said, okay. And so I had to come up with a strategy. He helped me with it on how I could forgive. Well, I end up forgiving the guy. He ended up showing up at my house sometime later, getting filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only did he get filled, he go back to his wife, tell his wife, she gets filled, his children get saved. I mean, the whole family gets saved. You know, but I had to first deal with my issues. And God showed me that you're not going to go anywhere until you deal with this. So a forgiveness dream. A calling dream. God can give you a dream about what he has called you to do in ministry, in life, you know, your destiny, your future, your the job that you desire, you know. And I've heard many testimonies about people receiving a dream about where to go and work, who to marry. I mean, if your wife, you know, the daughter-in-law is going to be pregnant, or, I mean, he can give these dreams, these calling dreams to let you know what's going to happen in the future. Your responsibility is to write it down. As a matter of fact, you write down all the dreams and date them so you can look back over them and see what God has already accomplished. Another dream is called a warning dream. This is really self-explanatory. It's just like God gave Joseph this dream, warning him, you know, that Aaron wants to kill the baby. Get him up and go into Egypt. You know, he can warn you about things. I've had this one sister, she lives in Dallas now. She was talking about how she was warned about her husband was going to be involved in an accident. She saw the accident. And she was like, oh, Pastor, my husband going to involve in an accident. And I'm getting ready to make a point here. And she was like, she was so obsessed with it. She saw the accident in the dream, how it happened. He got sideswiped. And I said, you know, that's a warning dream, but just because you dreamed it does not mean it has to happen. Right? God will show you something so you can prevent it from happening. You know? So, yes, it's a warning. It's a warning to, yeah, this is going to happen if you don't intervene and step in and intercede for this person. And so I spent quite a while just convincing her. I almost said her name. I'll use another. Susan, if you would just stop for a moment and pray against what you saw, your husband does not have to have an accident, you know. And this is what happens with people when they have a dream and the dream is really real. They just believe that it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen. Oh, I saw it was going to be a storm. I'm giving an example of one. It's going to be a hurricane that's going to take place in the Gulf and it's going to come and destroy the city. And I said, okay. And a lot of people died. And I said, and it almost feels like a person get a sense of, you know, wow, you know, God showed me what's going to happen in the future to someone, you know, what's going to happen in the world. And so I was saying to her, that this person, I said, well, why don't you pray against the dream? No, God showed me it's going to happen. I said, well, perhaps he showed it to you so that you could stop it from happening. Oh, no, this is what's going to happen. Well, it happened. It happened in Port Arthur. They had a Port Arthur test. They had a hurricane. Severe. A lot of people got hurt and property was lost. And I often think about, man, what would happen if she had prayed against it? So, yeah. Why did God show it? Did God show it to you so that this is a foregone conclusion? Or did he show it to you so you can do something about it? I believe, I take a position, and Chris Volatin takes a position, that many things God show us in a warning dream is so that we can do something about it. Not so you can say, well, God showed me this dream, and brother, I'm telling you, you know, the governor is not going to make it. He's going to, you know, somebody's going to take him out. You know, no, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. God showed it to me. What? Why not do something about it? But sometimes people don't see it that way. They feel entitled. They feel it's almost like a thing of justification. They feel like they've been validated as a prophetic person or whatever, that they've made this this warning. They've given this warning dream. But saints of God, God is a redemptive God. He wants to save people. And so I believe he wants to save lands and countries and people and situations. So warning dreams is not foregone conclusion. Yes, you take it seriously, but you can do something about it many times. Body dreams. Body dreams are when you have chemicals in your system. Many times women who are pregnant, We have dreams within a dream. Their hormones will begin to kind of act up, and they'll start dreaming. And they have some really strange dreams. And you're wondering, what is going on here? Well, you really have to analyze it and make sure that it is God communicating, or is coming from the chemicals that have been released in your system, or you're taking medication. You know, medication to cause your mood swings to go back. Those mess with your dreams. I'll give you another story. I was in the hospital for knee replacement, 2019, July the 22nd, in the hospital. And they gave me morphine because of the pain. And I started dreaming. And I was like, my legs, one was from Russia and one was from the United States. And they were talking to each other. And the one from the United States didn't like Russia, and Russia didn't like the United States. And I'm like, you know, my legs are, you know, this is a dream. And I had another head. This head was from Russia, and this head was from the United States. And they didn't like each other. And I'm like, wow, you know. And I'm like, I hear music. I mean, I was just hallucinating from the dream. And I like to listen to the scriptures while I sleep at night. And I usually dream the scriptures. I'm a character in the scriptures. So I'm dreaming, and this is a monster. I mean, I'm seeing monsters. I'm seeing Godzilla. And I throw the headphones off, and I'm screaming, ah! In the hospital. And the nurse comes in, you know, and she said, what's wrong? I said, they're talking to each other. And she said, come on now. So chemicals, you know, chemicals or body dreams, they call those body dreams, or chemical-induced dreams. And then you can have what we call them false dreams. And usually this takes place when a person is living in sin. They're living in sin. They're no longer acknowledged in the presence of the Lord, but they're living in a compromised lifestyle. And so they are so vulnerable to the enemy for him to give them a dream, and they'll think it's from the Lord, you know. Oh, you need to do this. You need to leave your wife. You need to leave your husband, you know, and go with that man that you've been sleeping with, or go with that woman you've been sleeping with. Oh, God confirmed you a dream. Well, it's a false dream. It's from the enemy. But because your life has been compromised, you know, You open yourself up to receive dreams like that. Living in sin, people who are into pornography, they will have strange and weird fantasy dreams, you know. And you're like, well, and if they tell you, you're like, oh man, that is a weird dream. What's going on with it? That's all full of all this bizarre. Are you living in sin? You know, come on, just tell the truth. Yeah. Dark dreams. In these dreams, revealed the plans of Satan. So in spiritual warfare dreams, it's a warfare going on. But in these dark dreams, and you'll see a little bit of light in it, and it's really kind of hard to explain unless you're experiencing it. Maybe after I talk about it, you may know what I'm saying, is that you'll see light in it. And in the dream, I'll give you an example, dark dream. I had this dream about Gaddafi, right? And in the dream, I told you about that, yeah. In the dream, I'm in the dream. This is a dark dream, but I'm in the dream beside a wall. And I'm listening to the conversation of Gaddafi talking with a demon. And he's telling them, oh, don't worry. The United States is not going to bomb you. They're not going to do that. It's not going to be a war. Go ahead and do what you're doing. And I'm listening, and I move my foot. And the demon heard it, and Gaddafi heard it. They turn and look, and I'm like, oh. I'm out of the dream. I'm back. That's a dark dream. It revealed the plans of Satan. And you'll have these dreams where you know, working on the job, and God will expose and let you see what's happening on the job, what's the evil, the plots, the plans that people are making behind your back. You'll see him. He said, oh, boy. He give you insight. It's almost like an insightful dream where you're there, but they can't see you. You know, those are fun dreams. I've had a few of them. Courage dreams give you courage. He did. The demon lied to him, you know. But it was, you know, I was there as a witness to hear everything that was going on, you know. And I've had a few. I've had some friends there. I have one guy. My wife typically had dreams like that. She had dream where we call them. She has insight. She'll get insight. It's like she'll go into a room and she'll find out what's happening in the room. And she'll come back and she makes a decision or gives a word based off the information that she have. You know, I mean, God is he's communicating to us. He's constantly talking to us through vision and dream. We just have to pay attention to what he's saying, make the notes, and spend a little time asking him. And the Holy Spirit is a great interpreter of dreams. He is. If you ask him, God would make it possible for you to understand. Even if he has a have you call someone to ask you to help you with that. But normally, if you ask the Holy Spirit about this dream, Holy Spirit, what are you saying in this dream? And then write down what he tells you, you know. And then ask someone, your partner, your friend, say, does this make sense? You know, oh yeah. And you'll have someone fill in the blanks. Say, oh yeah, this, and they'll start telling you more than what you've written down. I've had that happen to me quite a few times. You know, to ask your wife, ask your husband, what do you think this means? You know, you'd be surprised. Courage dream, give you courage about something. We talked about this earlier, you know, that dream with the storm, you know. Oh, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. So God can give you courage dream, how to face your fear, how to face something on your job, you know, how to deal with something. I remember I had this meeting at this, we were working at this church, and I had this meeting with one of the deacons, you know, and I was going to take over this church. My wife and I, we were going to become the pastor of this church, and this deacon called a meeting and said, well, I want to meet with you and the pastor. And I was like, oh man, what do you want to meet about? Well, that night I have a dream. I have the dream about what the meeting is all about. And so I call the pastor and tell him the dream, and then I tell him the meeting. He's laughing, I'm laughing. We show up at the meeting, the pastor is sitting beside me, and the deacon's sitting there, and we both look at each other, and we're laughing. We're just laughing. And he's like, what are you laughing about? He's like, oh, there's something. It's something the elders said last night. And so go on with the meeting. So he's going on with the meeting, telling us what he's upset about. And as he's talking, the pastor is still laughing. Right, because I've already told him the dream, and it's playing out in this scene. He's telling, and at the end of it, the pastor said, "Okay, well, thank you for the information." And we laughed, and we ended the meeting, and we left, you know, because we had the dream. God gave us the dream, and the pastor really needed it because he was feeling a little the deacon, the senior deacon in the church. He's going to straight us straight. A correction dream is where God corrects something that's going on in your life. And this is good because he loves us. God is a redemptive, he's very redemptive in his nature, and he wants you to do well. But you may need a course correction in your life. So God will give you a direction. God will give you a dream that will cause you to make a course correction. And those are helpful because, throughout life, sometimes we think we're doing the will of the Lord. What is the will of the Lord for my life? What is God having me to do? You know, what is the future? Well, God can give you a dream that just kind of correct you a little bit, you know. Sometimes it may be correct you on the direction, or sometimes it may be he may need to spiritually correct you, and he'll do it through a dream. And you wake up and you'll feel so low, but you know that he loves you, and that's why he corrected you. Self-conditioned dream tell you where you stand with the Lord. You know, Lord, you know, how do I stand with you? God will give you a dream and let you know where you stand. You need to exercise more authority, you know. Direction dream in life. Where do I go? What do you want me to do, Lord? Do you want me to stay here in Beaumont, Texas, or do you want me to go to San Antonio? You know, I didn't ask that question. I just, San Antonio was the place we visit. And the Lord said to me in direction, San Antonio is I want you to be, is the place I want you to be. Oh, it's time for you to get out, retire, you know. It was sitting here, we were talking about, talking about moving. Should I stay here? Should I go? What is this dream talking about? You know, I seem to think that it's talking about this thing, this one thing. You have to kind of ask the Lord, I heard that, but what are you saying? Is that confirmed? Is that what you mean? What you want? A direction dream. He's trying to give you direction. I spelt that right. Intercession, wrong. Intercession, I don't know what I was thinking about. Intercession dream that he wants you to pray for someone else, where God will bring someone else up in a dream that you should be praying for. You bring the person's face, you bring the situation, and it's not for you to tell them anything, it's just for you to pray for them. Revelation, prophetic revelation about things that will happen. Revelation, my wife had one about sick, praying for sick people. And I told this earlier at our meeting, where in this dream, my wife saw these little blobs that looked like jello. And she saw them lined up outside of the hospital, straight line. And she saw them in the corridor also, but she, you know, dreams, you can see things in both areas. And she said, "Oh, God, what is that?" And God said, "That's pain. Pain." And she watched this little jello thing come down the hall, go into this hospital room, and this person was sick in the bed. It jumped on him, jumped on the arm, and the person said, "Oh, I can't move my arm. My arm is so sore." My wife said in the dream, she said, "Oh, God, what are you going to do about it?" And God said, "What are you going to do about it?" And she said, "I guess I'm going to rebuke you. I rebuke you now." And when she said, "I rebuke you," that little jelly thing, which pain, it turned and looked at her. You know, she said, it was just like a little child looked at her. She said, "Yeah, I'm talking to you." He said, "Lord said, pain can hear you. Talk to the pain, forget about the person." So she said, "Pain, I'm talking to you. Get out of here." And he left her. She said, "Oh, my arm feels much better now." And she said, the Lord was telling her in the dream that when you pray for people, speak to the pain, because it can hear you. Once the pain leaves, then the person can move their arm. They're healed. And so that was a revelation. And she told me about it. I told the prayer team about it, the intercessor, people who were traveling with us. And so everyone started to pray. Everybody on the team was just, not just Josh and I, it was a lot of us, different teams. Everyone caught the revelation, said, "Oh, man, that's a revelation. We'll go after pain now." Now when we pray for people with pain, we speak to the pain. We don't speak to the person. Revelation. Fear dream. Dreams of fear that we have. Tell us our inner weakness, fear, and bitterness allow Satan to take legal ground to attack us. So fear dreams is, you know, God wants to deliver you of that, but it tells you about things that you are fearful of, that you need help with. And so God will reveal it to you. This is, you have a problem with this. You need to deal with this. Running from the dog. That's a fear dream. That's a spiritual warfare, but it's also a fear dream. I fear dogs, and so I had to come in the dream. To get delivered, I had to turn around and confront my fear. You know, people. Sometimes people of authority, people of a certain. When I was in Toronto, Canada, for the doing the Toronto revival. The preacher was preaching about some things, and this lady, and he said, "Well, you turn to people and tell them what you fear." And she said, she turned to me and she said, "I fear black people." And I say, "Oh, she's really this." She said, I fear black people." I said, "Oh, you know, I'm like, I think I'm black, you know." So I'm asking her, you know, it's so funny because she's, "I fear black people." She's like, you know, she's like, she's batting her eyes. And I was like, she was white, I'm black. The husband said in that show, and I'm like, you know, this is weird, right? We both said enough. And I said, "You want to be free of that?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Give her a hug." She started crying, you know. Then her husband, he's like looking. I said, "Come on." And I'm hugging both of them. They both crying. You know, I'm free. I said, I didn't know what to do. I just gave him a hug. And so now the three of us, we're all dancing, you know. I can't dance. Skip, bunny rafter, hop all over the place. And the three of us just, you know, with our hands on each other's shoulder, bunny rafter hopping throughout the church, Toronto. You ever go to Toronto during those days? People do weird things. And so, but she was free. I mean, they became my best friend. She said, "I'm so free." She said, I just had such a fear of black people. And like, "Oh, no," I said, I'm scared of black people too sometimes. so we just kind of, yeah, you know, I had to kind of let her off. Invention dream. Oh, I tell you, this is dream is fast. I have some notes about people who have invented things because of a dream. I have a friend in California who's an electrician, and he was telling me, this is not an invention dream, but it's a nice dream anyway. He was telling me he had this dream. He was working in this house. He was wiring this house, and he was like, and he got to a certain area. He could not figure out where the water that he had dropped behind the wall was. He said, "I'm drumming, you know, fishing, you know, got so frustrated, he just got off. He just went home. Went home, went to sleep, had a dream, saw the wall in his dream, saw where the wire had dropped, you know, went back the next morning, drilled the hole, and found the wire." I said, man, I love that story. But John Paul Jackson talked about friends that he couldn't really call their name, that God would give them inventions. It's a guy named Dudley Perio. I don't know if you ever heard of Dudley Perio, the man with the gold on him from Austin. You never heard of him? Yeah, well, that's a whole story within itself, but he has like gold will fall on him, gold dust would fall on him. He washed it off and it would appear back on him. But he had an invention, something he could use on the oil field. And man, he got an invitation from China to go do a demo in China. He talked about it, them putting him in a 5-hotel. But it all came through a dream. Words of knowledge, God can give you a word of knowledge in a dream. When you dream about someone's situation, you go and talk to them. Yeah, well, how did you know that? Yeah. I had a dream about my cousin. I didn't know her middle name was Michelle. No, her first name was Michelle. But in the dream, her mother told me, hey, her name is Michelle with two L's. I called up on the phone. I said, is your name Michelle? Yeah, how did you know that? With the two L's? Yes, how did you know that? Word of knowledge. You know, word of knowledge about someone's sickness or disease. God can give it all to you in a dream before you go to the service. I think this was Paul Cain would have words of knowledge before he got to the service. He would know things about the service before he got there, you know. And so God can give it to you. A dream of deliverance. That take place in your life where, you know, there may be a stronghold that God can give you a dream about how to get rid of that. Spiritual warfare, we talked about that. Soul, dreams of the soul, mind, emotion, spirit, in wisdom, communing consciousness, body, and spirit. So in this soulless dream, you know that it's a soulless dream because it's black and white, it's muted colors. And we call them self-conditioning dreams. I want to be married. I think I told you about that the last time. You can want something so bad, it's coming from your soul, that you dream about it. You know, I want to move out of San Antonio. I do not like San Antonio. I saw myself living some other place. I just hate San Antonio. And before long, you start dreaming about living someplace else. And you'll think that that dream came from the Lord. It's a soulless dream. You did that. Okay, I am done, I think. Yes. Yes, that is it. Yes. So, any questions? It is only, I have 15 minutes left for my 45-minute presentation. All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like reality, like you're in that room. Yeah, those are dreams, kind of a lucid dream where it's more real than dream. It's like this is not, and I had an example when my cousin died, and I didn't go to her funeral because it was just too painful. We were real close. And in the dream, I see her. She comes in the door, walks in the door, and she talks to someone. Then she turns to me, and she walks up to me. And I said, Tanya. And I said, oh, I really miss you. And she said, I miss you too. I said, no, I'm not dreaming. And I'm like, I'm really here. I said, I want you to know, this is not a dream. I really miss you. And she says to me, oh, I know. I know you're not dreaming. I know you really miss me, and I really miss you too. And I, you know, gave her a hug, and she said, but I can't, I have to go. I said, okay, but I love you. And I woke up from the dream, I'm crying, and I'm like, wow, I was really there. I was like, that was an encounter. And so it is a healing dream for me. I needed closure from that relationship, because she had died, you know, kind of a really challenging death, you know. And so that, you have to discover what it is, because that was more of a lucid dream. You felt like I'm really here. So you have to examine and find out what it is that God is trying to tell you. You know, you need to write that down. And this is the thing about writing dreams down. I've mentioned this before. it's why it's so important to write your dream down daily, because dreams can be like puzzles. You can have a dream today and not have another dream about this situation until next week. But if you didn't write it down, you wouldn't remember you had one. And so that's why it's good to keep a dream dictionary. You can either do it on your phone, you know, or you can have I have a couple of journals at home, you know. Sometimes I write it, I can't read my writing, so I'd rather talk it and then I write it. But you need to write them down, you need to date them, and so you can refer back to them and see if there is a nexus that connects the dream together. And you'll find that God, for some reason, he'll do this. He'll give you a dream this today and then next week, and then it'll be all spread out. And then you're like, this dream doesn't make sense. And then someone like me will come along and say, well, you have a dream dictionary? Well, no? Okay. Write this dream down. And God, he's gracious. He'll kind of repeat it. But it may not be the identical dream. It's almost like a curve, a cube. It'll give you another side to that same dream. It's like, I'm going to let you take another look at it. I'm going to flip it, and then you'll get another picture of it. Four different ways of looking at this one particular thing. So write your dreams down. I encourage, and all of us can interpret dreams. I mean, the reason I'm probably better at it than most people is because I actually apply myself. I really go for it. I want to understand it. Because I have a lot of dreams, like Tiffany. You know, my youngest son has dreams every night. You know, so I want to understand it. So I apply myself. I research. I ask the Lord. You know, he's the first person. I ask the Lord, what are you saying to me in the dream? And then I go through the interpretative process. And so many times in the dream, and when people tell you the dream, you may have an understanding of the dream even before they finish the dream. They'll start off, well, I was walking out of the room. You say, oh, okay, I know where this is going. I know what's happening with this, you know. And you're going to let them go ahead and finish the dream. You say, boom, this is what it's saying. And then and don't get caught up in the length of the dream. Because dreams, you have to have what we call things that make the dream move, to move the dream along. So there's supporting things that happen in the dream that has nothing really to do with the dream itself. It's just there to cause the dream to move along. And I ask people a question like this: if you move yourself out of the dream, could the dream still go on? They say, well, no. Okay, then you're the center of the dream. Find out who's the character of the person. Who's the main character in the dream? Is it you? You know. And then just point out the main things in the dream. And then focus on that. Don't focus on all the support, you know. Well, there's a beam over here, the blue light was flashing here, the cat roaming across the road. That had nothing, that was just part of the supporting, you know. So you can't get lost in the weeds, you know. You need to just, and that's why when you, to remember your dream, one of the things you can do is, once you have the dream, wake up and write down the three main points of the dream quickly, then go back to sleep. And when you wake up, and you're actually awake, you know, you look at the three main points, and the Lord would bring back. I've tried this. I've told other people to do it, and they told me it's been successful for them, you know. But it takes practice. And God, the way you show God, the way you honor the Lord is by when he gives you the dream, you write it down. Write the vision to make it plain. You honor him by writing the dream down. I've discovered this, and I talked to others. If you don't write it down, if you don't show honor, then you see less and less and less and less. And your dreams become like more fragmented, or you just get pieces of it. The more you honor the Lord, the more you appreciate the Lord, thank the Lord for the dream, you get more of it. And there are some people that it's just a gift, they just dream every night. My grandma, myself, my youngest son, Tiffany, she says, and I've met other people every night. And there are some people dream every night, and they don't even write them down, they don't even care about it, they just don't, you know, don't be like that, you know. It is a wonderful tool, a way that God can communicate to us that can help you along your journey and help other people along their journey. And like I said, everyone in this room can interpret dreams if you just use the techniques, but ask the Holy Spirit above all. Any other questions? Any dreams that need to be, you want to take a stab at? Oh, okay. So everyone's going to help with this one.
This happened a couple of days after last Saturday. And I know I think the next night I had dreams. And I didn't honor the Lord. I didn't write him down. So finally, I told the Lord, I asked for forgiveness for that because I wasn't honoring what was coming forth. And then, boom, I mean, a big one came. And I'm just going to read it through because I have to write it down. So my dream was solely about blue water. We were at a house. It wasn't our house. It's like we were renting it, like a summer thing. And the house was surrounded by water, just blue water. And I just remember in the dream that the water was very... I could tell it was fresh water. It wasn't like salt water. There was a lot of people playing in the water, doing stuff. There was lots of people were playing in the water, and everything was fine. Later in the dream, I looked out of the window, and I noticed that the privacy fence was starting to come apart because the water had gotten closer to the house. And then I noticed that several people were helping put the fence back together, and that's when I went outside. As the waves got rougher, I noticed that things underneath the water were starting to be exposed. I could see rocks, and when I say exposed, it's like the water would move. It wouldn't just like move and come back. It would like, and you could see. It would, and then I saw vehicles, cars. As the water would move, I saw cars like lined up that had been parked there. So I saw the vehicles that were under the water, and I started telling people about the vehicles and noticed that they were not deteriorating. They looked like they had been parked there for on purpose. The next part of the dream was that when we crossed the water over to some sort of hotel, as we were about to walk out of the lobby, my wife found a key that was sitting on a sign and gave it to me. And that was it.
What jumps out at you in this dream? What's the first thing that jumps out?
Well, I mean...
What's the main thing that jumps out at you? Something very significant.
So, the car is in ministry.
Yeah, something
and,
else.
And obviously the water.
The water was the main thing.
The water, and so, like... going to give you new keys for ministry. Like, he's giving you the keys to the kingdom. He's giving you the keys that you need. I don't know. This is what I wrote down.
That's good.
Come on. Anyone else want to add to it? Anyone think about the fence? What does the fence mean? What do you think the fence? A border, yeah, boundaries. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what was wrong with the fence? It was deteriorating or falling down. Mm-hmm. So is that a positive or negative thing?
Yes.
Exactly, because the water is blue. The blue water is doing the blue, the water represents the Holy Spirit. Blue, heaven, water, the Holy Spirit. Coming against boundaries, right? It's coming against, it's tearing down, it's removing old things, old boundaries, and then rebuilding them again, you know, because you got help to rebuild them. So, you know.
There
was people in the water, yes. And he's looking through the glass, right? He's standing in the house looking through a glass. We didn't talk about this, but what would you think that means, looking through a glass? It's a prophetic. It's a prophetic. We see through a glass darkly. You know, we see through. It's a prophetic. So this is a prophetic dream that he's seeing that's happening. You know, okay. The water removing, exposing things. The Holy Spirit is exposing things. You know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in his dream, the water moved and didn't come back. So it exposed. He's seeing how the Holy Spirit is going to expose things, right? And he's going to expose gifts, right? And ministries. The vehicles represent ministry. Cars represent ministries, you know. And so then he goes across the water, he and his wife, right? They're together. So that's prophetic. That's the point. They're together. So as they're walking together over to a hotel, the hotel represents large ministries with different compartments, you know. And they find, who finds the key? Who finds the key? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We're going to go outside and turn the water.
Okay. A key. What color is the key? You remember the key? Okay, T, represent.
I got a key one time. I saw someone hide it under a wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And God let me see them hide it. Mm-hmm. And I went and I picked up the key. I know now it can be. Unless somebody had laid down their worship ministry.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right.
This key where it was, you know how like in lobbies they have like a stand?
And she found it. So that tells you that God has given you authority. Keys represents authority. Yeah. So it means that, you know, in the dream that, yes, it was his dream, but because he's looking at this prophetically. You know? Remember, the dream starts off, he's looking through a glass. So he's prophetically speaking about all the things that is happening. So when you get the keys, it's a prophetic picture of you getting authority, that God has given you authority. Authority to do what? You know, whatever he reveals to you, but he's giving you the authority in the dream. She gave it back to you? Folks, both of y'all. Okay. Okay, she had the key, yeah. So, authority. So, you found it, so both of you have it. You know, because you're working together in ministry as a couple. You know, you're not doing it individually as a couple. That's a good dream. Yes. Yeah. So, very good dream. And it tells me in the dream that you are prophetic. That you see and you have the prophetic gifting. I'm not saying a prophet, anything like that, that's overused, but I'm saying you do have a prophetic gifting. God shows that in the dream. Yeah. Real good dream. I like that. Does that kind of make you feel like, oh, yeah, uh-huh? Or does it kind of make you look, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Anyone else? No, I have one.
There's always, or people often say, this person came to visit me in my dream. What is your interpretation of that?
Come to the old man, to the one who died. Come to that meeting, he didn't talk to me.
was a plane. Yes. And I, so when I, my mom passed, and then 2 weeks later, I had her in my dream, and all she did was say, and she only spoke Spanish. She's like, yeah, yeah, mija, yeah, yeah. Like, everything will be okay. So, okay.
Family members. Yeah. My grandmother, because we were so close, and typically, if it's something that, if it's something of authority, my pastor, here, gone on, he'll come, you know, you'll look at me sternly. Like, I'll give you an example. I had a blood clot. Didn't know I had a blood clot in my leg. I had a deep thrombosis, so they call it deep thrombosis, deep. And so I'm laying in the bed, you know, I'm just sleeping. My leg is hurt. I had hurt it a couple of days before, trying to catch this guy that weighed about 300 pounds. I didn't, you know, sort of caught him, but I pulled the hamstring. And then blood. So I'm laying in bed, and I have this dream. My pastor is in a white robe. He's standing beside me looking like, what's wrong with you? Like, you know, because that's how he would look, like, when he was upset, you know, if I was, you know, he, and I'm like, Bishop, what are you doing here? And he never said, he just looked, you know, and then I just, well, okay, and I'll go back to sleep. There he is again. I said, oh, he had a brain aneurysm, right? So I say, oh, he had a brain aneurysm, almost like a stroke, like a blood clot. And I'm thinking, I'm analyzing. I said, oh, this is the blood clot, you know? And so I call my friend Salvador. We talk. And he come. I said, come pick me up, Sal. I need to go to the emergency room. He picked me up, go to the emergency room. They get there. They do the ultrasound. Sure enough, it's a blood clot in my leg. Stay in the hospital for them. Now, he sent someone that has authority, right? This is dangerous. This is a situation. This is. Get up and do something about it. You know, that was my bishop. He was like, you know, so I knew it was something important. But it wasn't bishop. It was the Lord using him in order to get a message. So, and then sometimes you dream about the past, like, oh, I dream about an old house I used to live in years ago. You say, what do you think about that? Well, that's some issue that is in the past and you need to deal with. House can represent you, or it can represent a house. You know, house can represent you, and you have a different compartment, the kitchen, the bedroom, the bathroom. You know, you may have a dream where you're in the bathroom, and you, what is it? Well, there's some things inside you that God needs to get rid of. You know, He wants you to get rid of it. You know? Or you may be in a dream where you, in the shower, and you walk out, and you have no towel. In a dream, that's a good thing. How do you got a good thing? Because people see you as being transparent. That's how. This is how people see you. They see you as being transparent. You know, so it's not a bad thing that you're next. I mean, you may feel like, but no, that you are transparent. When people look at you, this is how they see you. So God is letting you see what they see. They see you. Has to do with, huh? Yeah. Well, to me, that dream. Anyone want to take a stab at it before I say anything? She has a dream where she can't try to get all the numbers in the dream. She needs to make a call. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one. Yeah. Anyone else? It can be a little bit more, more interpretation. Anyone?
What about you?
You have a difficult time communicating. You know. You can't quite get the numbers. You can't make the calls. So that's so people understanding you, you have a difficult time communicating to people because you can't quite get the number. Like, you know, And it's some, and watch in dreams, watch the play on words, because he'll use play on words a lot when you, you know, when you thinking that you, he's going in a certain direction, it's like, no, it's a play on words, you know. So you have to, you know, you have to kind of look at it and then give it to someone else to look at, and once they point out, you go, oh, okay. So yeah, I you know, maybe it's not time to communicate that yet. Maybe not time to tell that person that. You know, just hold off on it. You know, stop. You know, I need to tell. No, just hold off. Timing has a lot to do with this. You know. Anyone else? Salon. We have discovered who it is. Everyone has interpreted the dream already. We know what's the problem. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
So, someone is going to hurt me, they're going to kill me, and I'm going to die in the dream. And so I immediately, because it's my last chance, and I know I'm going to die, but I know I'm going to heaven, so that I immediately start preaching them and asking them if they want to receive Christ as their Savior. And all these scriptures come up that I don't even know that I remembered them, and I'm literally preaching the Word of God to them. I know it sounds like I'm puffing myself up, but no, seriously, I dream that a lot, where I'm preaching that, and I'm just, it's God's Word, and in my, and when I wake up, it's like, Lord, I didn't remember that I remembered all those scriptures. I mean, it just comes from within me.
Good one. I will say this in just kind of a little help. Dreams where you dream that you're dying does not mean that you're dying. So that, anyone want to take a stab at that? Stab at it. And she said some key words in there in the beginning of the dream about that. But even before that, she said some things about. Yeah, she said, I felt like I was dying or someone was killing me. Yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, dying mean that you are dying. You know, it's a death that's taking place where what God wants you to do, you know, like you're dying to yourself. The self is dying. You know, we all have to carry our cross. We all have to die to ourselves so we can, in order to do what God really wants to do. You know, so it's almost a sense of you as the person that's maybe not really going forth and doing all that God has called you to do, you have, that person has to die, you know. That person has to die so that the other person that's been preaching, that's the person, that's the real you. That's the calling right there, the preaching of the gospel, what God wants you to do. So you need to die to yourself so you can do what God has called you to do. That's what I see, you know. And so it's a conditioning dream, dying to yourself, and a calling dream. You were preaching, and you know the memory, the recall, the Holy Spirit is bringing it back to you, and you was preaching to people about salvation. So, yeah. sound like something that you want to do anyway, you know. You want to talk to people about the Lord and about being saved. And so the Lord is telling you what to do. He's giving you instructions. You know, I feel like they're trying to kill me. Yes, it is. It's a good thing, you know. They're trying to kill that person, that old man, so that new man can come up and kill, you know. So all of it, but I think everything that was said is the urgency of it. It's the urgency, you know. Yeah, it's an urgency, you know. And then the enemy, you know, because he can play games. The fear, like Tinker was saying, you know, fearing. I don't want to do that. That has to die too. You know? And so it's your time. It is your time. This is your time. This is your season. Yeah. Anyone else? Okay. Well, I think that pretty much. Believe me, that does not cover all of it. It's much more, but we're not going. You know, that's. I think we've given the outline of it. I think enough information has been given to help you to be able to interpret your own dreams. You know, create your dictionary. That's the one thing. Understand what word symbol means to you. You know, everybody's symbol don't mean the same thing. We established that. Dogs are not friendly. They're demons. They may be friends to you. You know, cats and you know, there are other terminologies like spiders and spider webs and all that, you know, witchcraft and occult and, you know, what happens to the spider body. But a lot of these dreams would interpret themselves. If you write it down and just kind of read through it, you'll find the Holy Spirit will just give you the understanding as you're reading it. You'll just be like, oh, okay, this is what this means, all this. And then someone else may look at it and may see something different, but if you feel that sense of aha, you know, oh yeah, a sense of a relief, then you have the right interpretation of it. You know? And when it comes to making major decisions, major move, selling your house, moving to another city, always bring someone else in. Who are you going to marry? You know, is it always bring someone else in on that? You know, because you want to be. He wants a confirmation on that, you know. When we moved, when even though God told me San Antonio is the place I want you to be, my wife would tell you, we didn't move immediately. There was some other words that came after that, you know. He told us first, we knew, so it wasn't a surprise, but it was a confirmation. We said, okay, confirmation. Should I leave this job? Let's see. One dream, let's see if it'll be a confirmation. The Lord may say, no, it may not. Yeah, leave, but not now. Maybe 5 years from now. Maybe when you retire, that's when you're going to leave. You know, we don't know. We just have to ask the Lord, you know, because we only see in part, we prophesy in part, you know.